ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 16, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vyaktam Atmavatam Atma Bhagavan Atma Bhavanaha Svanam Anugrahaye Mam Siddharupi Charatya Jaha. Well, if this is different yuga, you could just all chant it immediately just by hearing it. But as it's Kali Yuga, with now it's shown on the screen. Okay, we can go back to the traditional system. Vyaktam Atma Vatam Atma Bhagavan Atma Bhavanaha Svanam. Sounds like Swaha, doesn't it? Anugrahaya Imam Siddha Rupi Charati Ajaha. Okay, Hare Krishna. There's one more problem solved when you go back to Godhead. Only one language. Well, maybe there's Sanskrit and Bengali, and Brij Bhasha. I guess it depends where you go. If you go to Ayodhya, they'll be speaking Avadhi. Is it up there? Is it Avadhi in Ayodhya? I think so. Yeah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always anxious to elevate the living entities who are His parts and parcels. And for their special benefit, the Lord travels all over the world in the form of self-realized persons like you. This is Prithu Maharaj speaking to the four Kumaras. Purport. There are different kinds of transcendentalists, namely the Jnanis or impersonalists, the mystic yogis, and of course, all the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kumaras, however, were both yogis and jnanis and finally bhaktas later on. In the beginning they were impersonalists, but later they developed devotional activities. Therefore they are the best of the transcendentalists. The devotees are representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to elevate the conditioned souls to their original consciousness, they travel all over the universes to enlighten the conditioned souls about Krishna consciousness. The best devotees are Atmavat, or those who have fully realized the Supreme Soul. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Paramatma, is sitting within everyone's heart, trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he is called Atma Bhavana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always trying to give the individual soul the intelligence to understand about himself. He is always with the individual as a friend sitting by the side of a friend, and he gives facilities to all living entities according to their desires. The word Atmavatam is significant in this verse. There are three different kinds of devotees, namely Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari, the neophyte, the preacher, and the Mahabhagavata, or the highly advanced devotee. The highly advanced devotee is one who knows the conclusion of the Vedas in full knowledge. He can convince others on the strength of Vedic evidence. The advanced devotee can also see all other living entities as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord without discrimination. The Madhyama Adhikari preacher is also well versed in the Shastras and can convince others also, but he discriminates between the favorable and the unfavorable. In other words, the Madhyam Adhikari does not care for the demoniac living entities, and the neophyte Kanishta Adhikari does not know much about Shastra but has full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Kumaras, however, were Mahabhagavatas because after scrutinizingly studying the Absolute Truth, they became devotees. In other words, they were in full knowledge of the Vedic conclusion. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed by the Lord that there are many devotees, but a devotee who is fully conversant in the Vedic conclusion is very dear to him. Everyone is trying to elevate himself to the highest position according to his mentality. The Karmis, who have a bodily concept of life, try to enjoy sense gratification to the utmost. The Gyanis' idea of the highest position is merging into the effulgence of the Lord. But a devotee's highest position is in preaching all over the world the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the devotees are actually the representatives of the Supreme Lord, and as such they travel all over the world directly as Narayana because they carry Narayana within their hearts and preach his glories. The representative of Narayana is as good as Narayana. But he is not to conclude, like the Mayavadis, that he has become Narayana. Generally, a sannyasi is addressed as Narayana by the Mayavadis. Their idea is that simply by taking sannyasa, one becomes equal to Narayana or becomes Narayana himself. The Vaishnava conclusion is different, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshad Dharindvena Samasta Shastrayar Uktastatha Bhavyata Eva Saddihi Kintu Prabhoya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Sri Charana Aravindam. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, a devotee is as good as Narayana not by becoming Narayana but by becoming the most confidential servant of Narayana. Such great personalities act as spiritual masters for the benefit of the people in general, and as such, a spiritual master who is preaching the glories of Narayana should be accepted as Narayana and be given all respects due to him. Prithu Maharaj is himself a great devotee, great personality. He is the Shakti Avesh avatar of the Lord, empowered representative of Palana Shakti, the duty of a king to maintain the citizens, which includes all living beings. And the Kumaras, they are also counted as Shakti Avesh avatars, as the representing the Jnana Shakti. So these are all very great personalities. But we can see the same principle is going on between the Kumaras and Prithu Maharaj and between ourselves here. It's the same culture. For those who are born in India in Hindu families, or even outside India in Hindu families, still the vestiges of Vedic culture are going on, the leftovers. And for those of us who are born in the Mlecha countries, where everyone just by being born there, is born in an atmosphere of non-Vedic culture. We have adopted this culture to greater or lesser degrees. So a significant part of that culture, practically we could say the whole culture is geared toward that point of respecting, not only respecting, hearing from great personalities so that they can help us on the path of spiritual realization. That's not the understanding of many people in Vedic culture who take it to be a means for elevation to the heavenly planets. It's certainly not the understanding in cultures outside of the Vedic culture. There's also some idea of saintly persons, but they're, in their eyes, a saintly person is often someone who is seriously or in a gross way breaking some of the regulated principles which constitute the very beginning of spiritual life, or even human life. So we see that there are world famous religious leaders who are meat eaters, and they may be taking alcohol also. It's such a different concept. In the Vedic culture, one cannot be a brahmana, if one elevated person, if one drinks alcohol. But in the Catholic Church, it's part of their most sacred ceremony that the priest has to drink alcohol. And Srila Prabhupada often commented that there was a hospital open for alcoholic priests in America with 5,000 beds. And as soon as it was open, it was full. Srila Prabhupada gave that as an example of how far away people who are supposed to be religious are from any actual spiritual understanding. Today there will be an initiation ceremony here. Initiation, it's not meant to be exactly this or a parallel. Those who do interfaith studies or comparative religious studies, they may say that initiation is, I'm citing from the Catholic corpus because I was raised in that tradition. It might be something like the confirmation in the Catholic Church. When you're 12 years old, which is the same age for initiation, Prabhupada said. Of course, theoretically, you could be initiated at any age, but minimum age is supposed to be 12 years old. So at the age of, because you get baptized as soon as you're born. If you die before you're baptized, it's a theological problem. And what happens? They go to limbo. For generations, they went to limbo. Now limbo has been like Pluto. It got demoted. It doesn't exist anymore. So all those babies in limbo, I guess they got deleted from the hard drive, or hard drive crash or something like that. Anyway, it doesn't require a big brain to understand that it's a very poor theology, that which I was raised in. Very, very poor theology. Anyway, they have the idea that you get baptized as soon as you're born, and then when you're 12 years old, you have to confirm that. You have to go through another ceremony saying that, yes, I really want to be a Catholic. But at the age of 12, you're still under pressure from your parents and this and that, so you have to do it. And around the age of 13 or 14, start to think, well, do I really want to do this? No. So diksha may be seen something like that. It's supposed to be a commitment with intelligence. Divyam jnanam yato dadyat. It's the first point is to receive spiritual knowledge, but one has to have some initial knowledge, otherwise what's the meaning of taking initiation? It's not that one is completely ignorant of what's going on. Some of Prabhupada's early disciples, they didn't know actually what they were supposed to be doing. Just Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada initiated them. And then the first initiates, they were told, so what happens now? And Prabhupada said, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, after initiation. Oh, really? They didn't know. Srila Prabhupada was jump-starting the Krishna Conscious Movement. You all know what that means, jump-starting. Do they still do that with cars? Do you have? And they still do it, yeah. The technology didn't advance in the last 50 years or so. In the winter in America. But I guess it doesn't happen here. They push the car when it doesn't start, when the battery is down. Anyway, he was getting it going somehow by yena tena prakara. Yena kena prakara. Somehow or other, getting it going. But actually, one should have some initial knowledge. One should hear from the Guru for some time. When he's convinced that I want to go on hearing, I have to surrender myself here. It's a commitment. One has to make a commitment in knowledge, and that commitment is required to get further knowledge. Anyone can come and hear when the sadhus are speaking, but to take initiation, one should be prepared to commit, to surrender. That's the word Srila Prabhupada used. Commit is one word. Surrender means full commitment. So why should one do that? That is required in human life. In human life, one is supposed to be thoughtful. Otherwise, the dogs and cats also eat and sleep and mate and defend. But in human life, one should be thoughtful enough to see that this world is full of misery. The Buddha is praised for seeing that there is birth, death, old age and disease, and this is suffering. But actually everyone's supposed to see that. It's not such a big, great thing to see that this world is full of suffering. Dukkha dosha anudarshanam. One can begin to understand by being shown. It should be pointed out from the beginning of life. Komara acharet pragyo dharman bhagavataniha. From the very beginning of life, it should be pointed out. The children, they like to play, but it should be pointed out to them that this human form of life is very valuable. Do not waste it. It is the chance to get free from suffering. Suffering, general, is a general term, and specifically, there is birth, death, old age and disease. So human life should be directed toward this. Generally, people who come forward for initiation, or those who even not speaking of initiation, those who people may come to different spiritual groups or groups that appear to be spiritual. Probably many of you also, you went before you came to this Krishna Conscious Movement, you'd seen different groups or read different books about spiritual matters. And why should you do that? People are coming because they realize They need something more in life than just simply working, eating, whatever people do. They're not content. They realize something has to change in my life. I'm not content with the way things are going on. And therefore people, they look for different spiritual groups. They might not even consciously think, I want to change. I want to change in my life. But they may anyway just start to look at different spiritual groups. In the beginning, people understand very little. Coming to this Krishna Consciousness movement, in the beginning, people don't understand very much. Even in India, even if one comes from a Vaishnava background, but there's very little actual teaching. Even if one is in a Vaishnava family, the traditions may be going on. Kirtan may be going on, but generally teaching is not going on. To understand who we are, generally everyone thinks, I am this body. Okay, let's do what's called a thought experiment. I'll say one name which probably, definitely all of you from India know, and the others may know also. I'm going to say a name now. Narendra Modi. Okay, so what did you think of? What's the first thing you think of? The photo you've seen, the body, right? When you think of who is that person, you think of the body. We're so much accustomed to thinking in terms of the body. But Narendra Modi or Sanjay Modi or someone else is not the body. But we can only identify with the body. We naturally tend to think like that. But spiritual training, the training to understand that is a spirit soul who is in a body at the particular time. That body and the identity that goes with it is famous at the present time. That's why I use that name. If I'd have said, OPL? Was it OPL? I hardly know myself. OPS or OPL? OPS. Okay, those of you from Tamil Nadu may know. He is or was. Is he the chief minister now? He was for a few days. No, it's EPS. Okay. OPS doesn't like EPS. He's the Prime Minister of India. It's a big post. So he's famous now. But in the spiritual understanding means to see that the mosquito and the Prime Minister of India, they're all spirit souls, just in different phases, that's all. So this teaching, what to speak of, what are the different energies of Krishna, how we are in illusion, thinking, identifying with the body, that illusion, but due to that illusion, we want to enjoy the body. We have to understand that we are as spirit soul, we're meant for serving Krishna. All these points, spiritual education is required. In the beginning, people understand very little. Mostly people come, how is that? Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Those who are very fortunate, they will receive the seed of the creeper of devotion from Guru and Krishna. Otherwise, people may come, we have so many public programs, we're distributing books, people read the books, many people read the books, many people read the books, and they put it down, and they don't make any further progress at that time, although they're greatly benefited by reading their book. They may come to the public program, but their inclination to go forward, yes, I want more of this, is not very strong. They may come again to another public program, but they don't feel the urge to go forward and be committed more. So that's a great fortune in whose heart that arises, the thought that, yes, I want to go forward. What is that? That we can say is causeless mercy. Because we don't, in the beginning, people don't really know why they should come to this movement as compared to any other movement. There are so many movements, big famous movements in India at the present time I guess Ramdev Baba's the biggest guru these days, and Sri Sri's going down, used to be big, and who else are there? Then there's the hugging, and there's so many here in Bengal, famous, probably outside Bengal they don't know, the Lokanath and Anukul, and there's so many. And then there are so many different movements. Who is fortunate will be attracted to Krishna consciousness. Even though in the beginning you may not know very much, but the feeling, yes, this seems right. And then they inquire more. Is it really right? Are they also cheating? That's myself. I first got one of Srila Prabhupada's... Actually, I first saw Srila Prabhupada's books at school. Just in a town just outside London. So my best friend at school, he said, well, on Monday, he brought in the Bhagavad Gita as it is and Sri Ishopanishad. And he's very excited and said, oh, I went into London, I met some people and I got these books. And I said, I don't want to see them. I said, these Indian gurus, they're all cheaters. That was my initial response. Then 2 or 3 years later, in Ireland, I came across a book, Krishna book. And the person had opened it to read it. And you know when you read the book, sometimes you fold the page. So they'd folded the page on page one. And they never went back, it seems. So anyway, I read it. So I thought, well, it's actually a shastra. It's not just someone's... I didn't know the word shastra at the time. It's a scripture. It's someone's... It's not just someone's imagination, like all these people, they write, well, in my opinion, this, that, forget it. It's actually a scripture. So I thought, well, I guess I'll go and check it out. But I didn't expect it to be actually anything bona fide. I was just so skeptical. So, talking about myself here, sorry. So anyway, I committed. I didn't know. How could I know? I read the whole book, but I hardly understood anything of it. These people, they believe in God, they're vegetarians, they're damn serious, they get up early in the morning, they take a cold shower, and they're happy. They're really getting something. So... They're not happy in the kind of happiness that people get by having lots of money. It's not artificial. And they blasted me also, which means that they're genuine. They're not just trying to get me by some false sympathy. So I can say my own case. There was a feeling that this is the right thing, but we don't really know until we become educated. So that education is required. Otherwise, if we just go on feelings, in the beginning there's a feeling, this is something nice. We can even emphasize that more and more and try in our preaching. Generally we try to make Krishna consciousness, try to present it in a way that people will be attracted at their present level. Their present level is, of course people are at different levels, but basically, people are interested in what appeals to their senses. So we have very nice festivals, ask people to come, pious people are attracted. But at some point, if they're going to be serious, there has to be spiritual education. Generally, guru in Vedic culture, Indian culture. Now it's changed, but it was understood to be a teacher. It used to be in India until recently that a teacher, it means a teacher in the school or a professor in the college, they were highly respected because they're giving knowledge, even mundane knowledge, because it's equated with the role of a guru. They're giving us knowledge. By knowledge, we can be benefited. Nowadays, of course, it's changed because education is another business. It's clearly highly commercial. So the students, they also know that the teachers, they're being paid, and our parents are paying the fees, so they think that the teachers are like our servants. We don't need you, you need us, you need our money. So they can be rude to the teachers is absolutely unimaginable previously. So giving knowledge, the knowledge is highly regarded in Vedic culture because, well, one reason is the Mayavadi's idea is that it's knowledge, jnani. By knowledge, one gets liberation. It's not exactly the same in Krishna consciousness. By bhakti, one gets bhakti. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Bhakti gives rise to bhakti. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojata. Janyatyashu vairagyam. Jnanam chayata haitukam. Knowledge and renunciation, which are the means for the Mayavadis, they arise as automatic corollaries of bhakti to Vasudeva. But then within bhakti, an essential part is hearing shravanadi shuddha chitte kariyodai nitya siddha krishna prem shadha kabunai. The pure devotion to Krishna, which is the eternally perfect situation of the soul, which is now dormant, that is revived by the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing. So hearing means to give information about the nature of the Atma, the soul, the nature of Krishna, the nature of our relationship, the nature of the perfect situation. So this hearing is required, and the guru and disciple, it is an exchange of knowledge and guidance in behavior, how one should live one's life, down to the smallest details. The first gurus are the parents. They're supposed to teach all kinds of things, which they don't nowadays, mostly, because they don't know themselves. Just like I saw one of the young boys sitting here just now before they're chewing on his dhoti. By that age, he should know. What goes in your mouth is only that what you're eating, and at eating times, not just hands in the mouth. Anyway, all these things, how to sit from a young age, children have to be taught all these things. So that's the preliminary, just to train them so that they, when they go to the Gurukul, they're not slopping all over the place. They know how to sit. They're not chewing their fingers. They know how to clean themselves and bathe after passing stool, and so many little things which practically one cannot even be educated. One's not even really a human being You're not even qualified to be in the Gurukul unless you know all these things. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he said to one of his Western disciples, he said, to me you are a white aborigine. Because Americans generally think that, Americans and especially the British, Srila Prabhupada said the British are the most puffed up people in the world. So generally think, well, yeah, we're very civilized, very high class. Srila Prabhupada saw them as white aborigines. The British in India, they liked the Muslims more because the Hindus didn't want to mix with them because they thought the Westerners are degraded. They're contaminating. So it was a great act of Srila Prabhupada very bold to say he's going to make them brahmanas. When practically even the chandalas in India would think that the British are low class by their behavior. So education is required. Now giving Brahminical initiation, or actually I'm doing as a duty practically, but I don't think anyone should be Brahmin, almost no one. No one's, they don't even know ABCs of any Vedic culture or any such thing. So that should be, they should, actually Brahminical initiation, that is for young boys who are fit to be trained in Shastra. But nowadays, we give it to those who should at least have studied, they should have at least have an inclination to study Shastra. And they should know and practice all these details of Vedic culture. Anyway, I pray that gradually all these things can be introduced within our gurukuls, at least. So anyway, change is required. How much we're ready to change. Different people go to different organizations and different gurus. They know they're not very content with their life, but how much are they willing to change? Generally, people go to a guru or sadhu. They think, well, I can get some blessing and then that will upgrade my sense gratification. But to actually, tasmad gurum prabhadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. One should approach, actually one is fit to approach a guru when he's seen that everything in this world is completely useless. You may go to a guru and say, hey, can you arrange some yajna, I can get up to the heavenly planets? Who's actually a guru will say, no. It's completely useless. Then one should be prepared to inquire about the highest goal, highest benefit. To inquire about the highest benefit means it's not you just go to a guru and get an ashirvad. That's all. But you have to inquire. That means to inquire about the highest benefit means that one has to be prepared to do some work oneself. Otherwise, if it's just guru gives a blessing, he speaks something, and then you go away. If you're inquiring about the highest benefit, means that I'm now not in my proper position. I need to know what it is and what to do, how to go there. So on this basis, one should inquire. In the beginning, there may not be, or there won't be very much knowledge, but one can see, if one can see the devotees and thinks, I want to be like that. That is his admission. So to be initiated in Krishna consciousness means that one should have some initial knowledge of what he's doing. Actually, the essence of initiation is the commitment to surrender to Krishna. That is the essence. Anyone can come, join the kirtans, take prasadam, sing and dance, and go off and do whatever they like. But to take initiation means, now my life is meant for doing whatever is required so that I can be a pure devotee of Krishna. Be prepared to do whatever is required. And that means to take guidance from the Guru. Basic instructions are there in Shastra. One has to be guided how to do that. So one has to have great faith in the process. And one has to have great trust in the Guru and the Gurus, those who are guiding. That faith should be on the basis of initial knowledge, which develops further later. The piety of the Indian people is their great advantage, but it can also work against them. That they are prepared to put their faith in a guru, which in many parts of the world, even though in the English language the word guru has entered, but more and more the word guru is being identified with, what do they call that? A lifestyle guide or something like that? Is it a lifestyle guide or someone who just gives you a little advice here and there, but there's no concept of surrendering to the guru. Yet that's horrible. That's against everything that American culture, especially. Culture, we say the word culture, but it's not really culture, but anyway, we say that. It's against everything that America means and stands for. You're supposed to be an individual. Of course, the fact that the individual is brainwashed to take what they call food from McDonald's. Again, you use the word food because it's kind of describes it, but it's not really food. And to think that drinking alcohol is, you don't even think about it, you just do it. And eating meat, drinking alcohol, and being yourself, and you'll never surrender. What's this idea of bowing down to anyone? You have to be a very weak personality to have someone guide your life. That's what they think, isn't it? But actually, you have to be a very strong personality to be able to accept that kind of discipline. To commit yourself voluntarily. Otherwise, everyone is just, they say, I am very strong. But Hiranyakashipu thought I'm very strong. But he was a servant of his senses. He couldn't break out of that way of thinking. He was completely a slave of Maya. So the Indian people, they have the, still many of them have the idea, yeah, we should have a guru. But then they just take someone and they follow blindly. So without considering, yeah, whatever the guru says you do. Well, that's true, one should do, but that's why one should examine very carefully first of all. Otherwise, if you just get, just for sentimental reasons, then one may be misled. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he mandated, read these books, have the classes regularly. Srila Prabhupada used to speak of Srimad Bhagavatam class. The word class gives a somewhat different concept to the word which is commonly used in Hindi or Bengali. Srimad Bhagavata Katha. Right? It gives a different idea, doesn't it? Katha means you listen and it's very nice. Class means you learn something. It's a different concept. Srimad Bhagavatam class. And Srila Prabhupada gave class. His speeches. They were classes. They were instructive. Srila Prabhupada, he would instruct all people. He liked people would be brought to him. And they, different people from the Western world, some... I'm just listening to a series of conversations Srila Prabhupada had in Perth in Australia with a geographer, with a the mother and sister of a devotee. And Prabhupada would just speak to them and just start teaching them. Janma mrityu, jara vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. If you don't inquire about that, that's simply foolishness. You're not even a human being. He's speaking about Varnashram system. The geographer is telling him on and on, well, we have to do something to preserve the water. And Prabhupada says, you have to do yajna. If you want water, you have to do yajna. And the guy has absolutely no idea what Prabhupada is talking about. He's Prabhupada's explaining. There can't be rain because in Australia it's an arid country. No, no, you do yajna and you get rain. Srila Prabhupada is teaching what preaching and teaching. His preaching was teaching. He wanted to get to give this teaching to everyone. So we have to be prepared to accept that and accept a guru to hear and learn and understand and act on that, and in this way make progress. It's not just a matter of now I got initiation blessing. I several times said this. It must have been early 1980s. I was in Calcutta temple, and we had two accountants, Das and Dasgupta. That was their names. So one of them took a day off on Makar Sankranti, which is the day people go for. So many buses go from Calcutta to Ganga Sagar. They go to bathe at Ganga Sagar, where the Ganga meets the sea in the southernmost part of Bengal, West Bengal. So he took a day off and went for bathing there. He came back the next day, looked very happy. Said, that's it. Now, I don't have to do anything else. I took bath at Ganga Sagar or Makar Sankranti, I'm liberated. So he was very happy. The thought that he might have to actually follow something and develop love for Krishna, and even he was living in the, I mean not living, but he came every day to the temple because he was working there, never occurred to him that the devotees who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they're actually making progress in spiritual consciousness. But the idea of spiritual consciousness never entered his consciousness. He has a job. He works. It's an unusual organization, but anyway, he's got a job. He does his job every day. And he took a day off and got liberated. And there's nothing, no need to do anything else. So Narottam Das, he says, what is that? I can't remember exactly. The Puranas, they have all the Mahatmyas, the glorification of different tirthas. That if you bathe in this river, you get such a... Narottam Das says, it's all cheating. What you really need is the water from the feet of a Vaishnava. And all this idea, going to different tirthas, you take the water from the foot of a Vaishnava. There, that's what you really need. Of course, Narottam Das also taught that Chokudano Diloje, Dibhagan Hride Prakashito, not that you just take the water from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. You have to learn, hear, understand. That knowledge is not, we say Srimad Bhagavatam class, but it's not exactly just like a class in which you go, and you get some points, do an exam, you get some points, you pass. But that knowledge is to be revealed within the heart. So, coming to a guru means to agree to be changed. There's a feeling, I need to change. How much are we willing to change? Are we willing to be molded? We feel that, oh, I'm not content in my life. I need, but how much we're willing? Total change. Change of heart. One has to realize that everything is completely means absolutely. Everything without Krishna is completely meaningless and useless. That means we have to do everything only for the sake of Krishna consciousness. Everything else has no meaning whatsoever. That change of consciousness is required. And that is pure devotion. Even a beginner may be considered a pure devotee if he has this understanding. Beginner means in the beginning seems very difficult to control the senses. Even we may not understand all the ideas, we may have so many attachments to this material world. But if we have the basic idea that my life is meant only for Krishna and everything else is simply nonsense, then one is qualified to be initiated, actually, and go forward, to agree, to be molded, to have the understanding that what I am now is not what I should be. I should be like Srila Prabhupada. Of course, no one can imitate, but the consciousness of simply doing everything for Krishna. Everyone can do that because everyone by nature is a pure devotee of Krishna. So, to take the training and guidance and education to be a pure devotee of Krishna. It's not a little adjustment, just like guru. You go for some lifestyle coach, that's the word they use. Is it? Lifestyle coach. So you got a little coaching and personality development, little adjustment, be positive, remember to smile, be an empathetic listener, and then you can go on and your career will develop. And even when your career develops and you get more money, you should be a good person and give money in charity. No, missed the point altogether. The goal is not to be a good person. We worship Bhima, who ripped the heart of Dushasana out. We worship him, and we don't worship Mother Teresa. Bhima is millions of times more saintly than Mother Teresa. That we should understand. Why? Because Bhima is a pure devotee of Krishna. Why did he rip out Dushasana's heart? Because that was pleasing to Krishna. He doesn't do anything else except what is pleasing to Krishna. And Mother Teresa doesn't have any idea of doing what's pleasing to Krishna. She got misled by something that Jesus is purported to have said, and they took it as the Mahavakya, to look after lepers, and when people are dying, you take them off the street so they can recover, so they can die in your home, and if they don't die, you put them back out on the street. So one has, it means a complete change of consciousness. Without that, and what is the meaning of initiation? If we go on, now I'm chanting 16 rounds and following four regulated principles, not too fanatically, because we don't want to be fanatics, more or less the same outlook on life. Have to make sure my children get the best education, send them to America, What are you doing? Why are you thinking like that? It should be a completely different way of thinking. It used to be in ISKCON, God brothers can recall this, that you'd meet devotees for the first time. In London we used to have this a lot because the flights didn't go directly from America to India. So many devotees used to stop in London. And it was famous Radha Landanishwara's prasadam. They used to stop him. So you meet a devotee for the first time and just click immediately. Because the same way of thinking, exactly. We're here to serve Prabhupada's mission. You've never seen them before, don't know what their name is, but just immediately, and everyone does the same thing. We all get up in the morning and go to Mangalati and then do service and all these things. So immediately click, because the same aim, AKH, Kurunandana. But if we're chanting Hare Krishna, and then we have some different ideas. Prabhupada said that in his book. I can't really agree with that. See, you've got to keep our intelligence. We have to surrender our intelligence. Not that we stop our intelligence, but we have to surrender our intelligence and understand that I may think I'm very intelligent, but basically I'm a fool because I'm in this material world. What's the proof that everyone in this material world is a fool? Because they're in the material world. Otherwise we wouldn't be here. So we may have good intelligence, supposedly. But we have to surrender our intelligence, understand that I don't know anything. All these big philosophers. Big philosophers. You can put all their teachings and all their books and burn them all. Nothing to be gained from. They don't know anything. They don't know that they're not the body. It's just so big philosophers, nothing. They know nothing of any. What they think they know is also a mistake. So with this attitude, one can actually have personality development. It's not just some adjusting, but wholesale change. Wholesale rejection of our previous worldview. Dharma projeta kaitava atra. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the cheating, which means everything else except what's in Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is rejected. Even the Vedic kama, mana, swagapara, desirous to go to the heavenly planets. Krishna said, same thing Krishna says. It's all useless. Even that, even the pious activities of the Vedic culture, all useless. So one has to come, being initiated means one has come to learn and to act in this way. First thing, we should learn to hear. We should be very careful who we hear from also, even within ISKCON. Yeah, be careful, because I heard yesterday, Radhesh Prabhu was saying there was a Srimad Bhagavat Katha, was it? In Surat, was it? With the name of ISKCON. And all pictures of different demigods. And we reject. If we're followers of Prabhupada, we reject all this demigod worship. But it attracts people. That's the excuse. People like it. People like it. If people like it, it's probably almost certainly rubbish. If people in general don't like it, then there's a possibility that it's something good. If our preaching is what people like, then it's probably wrong. In the beginning we may do some festival, come here, everyone chant. But if we're going to give a series of talks on Srimad Bhagavatam, then we should cover the topics. These professional Bhagavat reciters, They'll never recite this Nayang Deho Deha Bhajang Riloke Kashtan Kaman Arhate Virbhujange. Tapo Divyam, who's going to teach them? Now you do tapasya, don't be a pig. They don't say that. Why people, they're not going to come and give them money and umbrellas and cloth and all the thing. They're not going to come. They're not going to become popular. See, we got 20,000 people at our Bhagavad Katha and completely useless. You cheated them all. But it's in ISKCON. You don't understand. Picture of Prabhupada. You can put the picture. Don't make Prabhupada into Jesus Christ. You put his picture, say we believe in Jesus, and talk all nonsense. So we have to be careful who we're hearing from. Should be hear from Prabhupada, read his books. Then if you find in the present generation what you hear, it's the same thing, then you know it's the right thing. If it's something different, well, we're just preaching like this because it's bridge preaching and we're just trying to bring people in and this and that. You brought so many people in. Yeah, well done. We're not in competition with Ramdev Baba or Sri Sri Ravi Shankar. We're not trying to have many people and become popular. At least, we shouldn't be. So if we want what Srila Prabhupada gave, we're going to have to hear what Srila Prabhupada gave and act on that principle. Srila Prabhupada already made it, whatever concessions possible, he already gave that. But there's no concession on 16 rounds, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. I was hearing in Australia, they were talking about all this, all the bogus things the Christians are doing to try to get people to come to the church because they don't have anything substantial to offer. And they said, the devotees were laughing and saying, they have a rock concert and they sing songs about Jesus with rock music. Ha, 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 ha. That's so good. Now we're doing an ISKCON also. Rock music. But it's Krishna conscious rock music. It's music from hell. But we do sometimes chant Hare Krishna along with that. So we have to come here to surrender. We can also come for material advantage. Many of the first residents of this ISKCON Mayapur were Bangladeshi refugees, and they liked to chant Hare Krishna by their culture, but they were here for, we can say it, not purely spiritual reasons. They also got a place to live and some food. We don't in any way condemn them for that. They're also welcome. Prabhupada wanted to welcome everyone in the world. He wanted Varnashram communities. Varnashram communities means to bring people in who may not be fully committed to pure devotion, but they're willing to join the kirtan and do some work and follow at some level. So that's Srila Prabhupada's mercy for the practical, for the people of the world, that Prabhupada wanted to first of all have a Brahmin class. That's supposed to be the ISKCON core. And then Varnashram, bring everyone in. But at least those who are going to take initiation, they have to be serious. Don't come for any material advantage. It's possible to have a career in ISKCON. It's a big organization, prestigious, at least in India. And someone can come. And they may think, I have to get up. I don't want to be sweeping the floor all my life. I have to get up and be one of the big men or big women, show myself, even subtly if we maintain such a thought, then we're going to be cheated. We're not going to get the nectar of pure Krishna consciousness which Srila Prabhupada came to give us. So this knowing what we're doing, we're coming here, be initiated. Why we're here, what we're here for, how we're going to live our life, all these things should be understood. So, point I should make, as the promise is there for four regulated principles. One of them is no illicit sex. So just to make it clear, you can back out of the initiation if you don't think you can follow it. It also means no contraception, no abortion, no homosex, no watching pornography on the internet or anywhere else. If you have the habit of, I'm saying this because I know some devotees get victimized, so it's not very pleasant, but someone should say it. If you have the habit of watching porn on the internet, then you can, if you watch it on your phone, then throw away your phone. That's a good start. At least you won't be so. If you watch it on your computer, then get rid of your computer. Do whatever you have to do to get out of this soul-killing, wicked, very bad habit. Then no intoxication, no gambling, no gambling. Prabhupada said no gambling or speculation. So in this context, I presume that Srila Prabhupada meant no speculation, means stock market and shares. But Prabhupada more often used the term speculation, mental speculation. Don't try to interpret the philosophy in your own way. So that's also. We come to here to learn to be molded. Don't make up or add something with our own mental speculation. 10 offenses. Anyway, that will be explained later. Different people have different difficulties with different offenses. Hindus, people from Hindu background, they may have more difficulty than people from Western background with the second offense, the demigod worship. And the Western devotees, they may have more difficulty with following the order of the spiritual master, no illicit sex, although India, especially in the big cities, it's the same now. That illicit sex is just normal. Still some places have some culture. Now, different devotees. Also for the Indians. The understanding that Krishna consciousness and chanting the holy name, it's not the same as performing some karma kanda ritual. Even where recommendation is to bathe in the Ganga, but bathe in the Ganga because she's a great devotee of Krishna, not with the karma kanda consciousness that I get free from all my sins. I definitely get free from all sins. But the consciousness should be that we do this as everything is an act of devotion to Krishna, not that we can do some, what extra thing can I do? Some special rituals. No, everything is complete in the process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada. The karma kanda rituals, it's not the same as Krishna consciousness. So that's something that the Indian Hindus may struggle with more. Following the Guru's order, having full faith in the Shastra, the fourth principle, that Westerners may have more difficulty, even Indians with their modern education, they may think science. So all these descriptions in the Puranas, they're all at best allegorical. All these rubbish ideas have to be thrown out. We can't make advancement in Krishna consciousness if we think that the Puranas are allegorical. There's the description of the universe, but now we know because we have our space probes going. One has to have full faith. So, in the Shastra. Otherwise, we can't make proper advancement. So, from Western background or modern Indians also with this all nonsense science training. We can understand science is bogus. It's not difficult to understand. Because you can know for sure that, say, 100 years from now, if you ask, even if you ask a so-called scientist or professor, so do you think that everything the scientists say now, in 100 years, they'll still say the same thing? No, they'll look back and say that was primitive and it was wrong. That means it's wrong now. And in 100 years, what they say, 100 years after that, no, even 10 years, they'll say it's wrong. So you know it's wrong. It's all what they imagine to be right. That's all. And Shastra, Vyasa, what he says, that is correct and that is perfect. That faith we have to have. The 10th offense is difficult for everyone. Doesn't matter where you're born or what background, to have attachment to the bodily concept of life. Anyway, I won't speak more about that now because a bit over time. I'll finish now and that will be explained more later. So, Hare Krishna, and wish you all the best, those who are taking initiation. Krishna's mercy on you. You can also take blessings, not only from me, but God brothers are here, God sisters are here, so many senior devotees, senior God brothers, God sisters, you also take blessings from them. It's not just me. You could, just like for instance, to give an analogy, there's a general in the army, but there's no meaning to be a general if there aren't, what are the other posts? Majors and corporals, lieutenants, there are so many. So it's all together. Sankirtan means all together, chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.